Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath. Rock out with your geek out.
Welcome everyone to the Metal Geeks podcast. This is one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with
George Motherfucker Tripsis.
What's up, man?
What's up, man? How's it been?
Good. Unfortunately, Dave cannot be here. He's getting ready for a work thing that he's doing, so he's preparing.
Working.
Always working.
Always
What's up working. With that, man?
I don't know. We're trying to make money and shit.
It's bullshit.
It is bullshit. I also have his Christmas gift in the car.
I know, right?
It's only, I haven't seen him.
Almost March?
Well, I haven't seen him in 2 months, so.
It's true. So how you been, man?
Good. Busy with work and stuff. Trying to stay alive.
That's a good saying, right?
Yeah. These days, it is. Yeah.
So, as you can tell, this is just going to be the two of us. No Dave, no Sean, no Justin.
Just
me and you.
Very intimate that way.
Very intimate. Why'd you scoot up closer when I said that?
It's because it's how you like it, Kerry.
I don't like big balls.
Yeah, you do. That's why I say it at the beginning of every podcast.
It's true, you do. But doesn't mean I have to like it. The first thing I want to talk about this episode, as we're recording this morning, some shocking news.
Yeah, very shocking news.
Kevin Smith, I'm looking at an autographed like vinyl toy of him right now.
You have a lot of autographed things by him.
I do, actually. He suffered a massive heart attack the past couple of days.
Is it yesterday?
Maybe.
I think it was yesterday.
They just announced he posted a picture from the hospital this morning. They were able to catch it.
Save him.
They were able to save him before it got.
Before it was life-threatening.
No, it was life-threatening, but before it was too late, basically.
Yeah, he called it on his Facebook post that he had 100% blockage in his LVD artery.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's really bad. And it's also the same thing his father died from, which I can imagine, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, his dad was in his 60s, all right?
50s, 60s, I don't know. I don't remember how old his father was.
47 or 48.
He's in his late 40s, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how old his dad was when he passed.
Only a few years older than me, truthfully. That's scary.
That is scary.
Wow.
It's, you know, I was listening to a show when I read the news.
What show were you listening to?
Babylon.
I was listening to it on the way home on the way to work and on the way home today. It was a little awkward knowing he was like set up in a hospital right now.
Yeah, and what's even more weird, the moment I was listening to it, they were talking about how they weren't going to do Hollywood Stiffs. And
I got that far.
And Ralph was giving him shit because he loves death so much. And I'm like reading the post about how he didn't die. I was like, oh shit, this is weird.
Yeah. Well, he didn't, which we're thankful.
Could you imagine how shitty of a day today would have been?
I cannot imagine a world without him.
No.
I mean,
it'd be really sad.
If you're not a fan of his podcast, you're not a fan of his movies. There's something you got to be a fan of. He's one of the best entrepreneurs that I know. He's taken...
And such an inspirational human being.
He is. And he's really nice, too.
Yeah, he's been nice to every one of his fans who come out and talk to him. He's been nice to me. I've only met him once.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard to do, because I do talk shit about stuff. So
I've met him twice, and he's been nothing but generous with his time. And in his friendliness, both.
No, I take that back. I did meet him twice. The second time is when we went to go see Yoga Hosers.
That's right.
Yeah, that was the second time I met him. He was giving you shit about your shirt.
Was he?
Yeah, you don't remember.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was like joshing you or something like that because
I was in my work shirt, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And we're like just two big dudes next to him and stuff like that. So he made an off-color gay comment like that.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Smithy.
I remember the first time I met him. This is not a eulogy. We're sounding like we're talking about somebody who's deceased, but
no, I'm glad he's okay, and I hope a speedy recovery.
The first time I did meet him was at Pop Culture Company when he came in for an autograph signing.
I met him the first time that night. at his show. Right, that, when we, show went we went to the evening with Kevin Smith.
At the Hollywood or Improv. The, Hollywood, the Houston Improv.
Yeah.
But yeah, he. I made a comment. I gave him my business card, my podcast card, and he's like, "Oh, cool. Tell me about your podcast." He seemed really sincerely interested in it.
And the fact that you told him you were doing it longer than he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, oh, shit.
He's like, oh, wow, I'm jealous. You've been doing it longer than me. I'm like, yeah, but.
Yeah, but you're rich.
You're
off
fucking
of it.
Kevin Smith.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I wish him nothing but the best. A speedy, easy recovery. I wish his family
he got
well.
A stint put in. So.
Yeah. Straight
hopefully,
up to the crotch.
Well, that's how you have to do it. So hopefully that stint works out for him. He had a great surgeon and all that stuff. And I hope he's around for another 40 plus years.
Yep. Just take care of yourself, man.
Yeah. I guarantee you this is going to like make him change his life a little bit to where he's going to be even more healthier than he was. Because I know he was on a weird health kick for a while.
He still is, I think. I don't know how deep into it he was, but.
Yeah. Well, he did lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Like I remember when he was doing Zach and Miri, he was really heavy.
Yeah,
and then he like all of a sudden just had a change.
Cut out sugar and processed foods.
Yeah,
that'll do it.
Sure does.
People ask me when I've lost 100 pounds before, and it right now it sort of fluctuates between here and there. But
not between 100 pounds, right?
No. But people ask me, it's like how do you lose that much weight without surgery and that kind of stuff? Well, first of all,
don't drink soda.
Well, I drink some Diet Cokes.
That's okay. It's sort of, it's not okay, but I mean, it doesn't have sugar in it. So,
right. So you cut down on sugar. If you can cut it out completely, watch your calories, exercise more. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way to lose weight. And if you
don't even have to exercise, you can just do purely a diet and then you will lose weight fast.
But if you get to a plateau, just change it up. So if it stops working for you, you have to, trick your body into doing something else. So something else kicks in. It's just the only way to do it. You have to be, you have to have willpower and you have to be committed to it. It's the only way to do it. You
can't just do it for a week. And nope. Like,
oh, I didn't lose any weight this week. Well,
yeah, well,
you gotta keep on going, man.
Yeah. Maybe in a month you'll lose weight.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
so there you go. Kevin Smith almost died, and we almost lost a great
and
person.
And health tips from the Metal Geeks.
Which is
don't listen to us.
Yeah, I mean, go talk to a professional. They'll probably guarantee everything we say, but just because we don't follow that advice doesn't mean you can't.
I mean, I will eat some sugar. I will eat some candy every once in a while.
I will scarf down a pint of fucking Ben & Jerry's. Nobody's business.
My thing recently, it's been the jelly fruit candies. You know, like the orange and the lime. And the so fucking good.
You're such an old person.
No, those are delicious, man. What are you talking about?
I'm just giving you shit. It sounds like an old person candy. That's why I'm giving you shit.
I like fruit flavored candies in dark chocolate. Those are my two favorite
things. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. Put a bowl of that shit in front of me, it's gone. Like a bowl of Jelly Bellies and stuff like that.
Mike and Ike's, huh? That's your shit.
Mike and Ike's. I do like Mike and Ike's.
Yeah.
Really
good. And Hot Ones.
The Hot Tamales?
Yeah, Hot Tamales.
When we saw Black Panther, we had a box of Hot Tamales.
There you go. When I go to the movies, I like to get Reese's Pieces. That's my thing.
Really?
Yeah.
E.T.?
I guess. Because they don't sell Reese's Cups at the movie theater, so that's the closest thing I can get.
That's true. I love peanut butter. Not a fan of Reese's Pieces.
It's because it's Reese's Pieces? Not Reese's Pieces, but...
Pieces, whatever. Reese's PCs.
Well, you don't like chocolate and peanut butter together?
No, I do, but I guess the candy coating just throws it off for me.
That chocolate?
No, there's like candy coating.
Oh, you're talking about the pieces of it.
Yeah, the pieces.
Yeah, not cups.
I like peanut butter cups. Those are great.
Yeah, yeah.
But the pieces, there's something weird for it.
Yeah. All right. It's okay. It's better than Skittles.
I like Skittles. Like Skittles?
For whatever reason, when I try to bite it, and if you miss biting it, they scrape my teeth, and I hate that sensation. And I don't get that with Reese's Pieces. So there you go. I guess this is our topic. Candy. We're talking about candy tonight and almost dying from heart attacks. Welcome to the show, everybody.
That's right. Who's hungry now for some candy? Actually, I wish I had a piece of dark chocolate right now. That'd be good.
Yeah, you do.
Do you like regular chocolate? Or
I don't care. It's chocolate.
Okay.
As long as it's chocolate.
I mean, I'll deal with it, but I like dark chocolate. The darker, the better. More bitterest. It can be.
But you also like fucking.
Hey, the voice from the other room just brought me a piece of dark chocolate.
You also like licorice. So
I fucking love licorice.
Your
man.
Taste buds cannot be trusted.
When we went and saw Star Wars a few months, like last month, with a friend, some friends of ours, and we went to the Edwards, and they had that little candy shop nearby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we went in there, bought a thing of licorice, and that's how I know I don't have to share my candy.
Yeah, because it's disgusting.
You know,
even the smell of licorice is so disgusting. Good, no, it's not.
Black licorice Jelly Bellies is like, ooh, the best thing in the world.
Like an old person farted in your mouth.
Maybe. I don't know that. I don't really know that sensation, but I do know I like black licorice. And I actually have had dark chocolate covered black licorice.
Oh, yeah?
That's pretty damn good.
That sounds even more gross.
Nope. You're just the wrong.
Sir. I'm not wrong. You can take a poll on Facebook if you want. How many people like black licorice? I guarantee you, you'll lose.
And the ones that do like black licorice become my best friends.
Because you have this small niche of like people who have bad taste buds.
I'm going to have a black licorice party and you're not invited.
That's totally fine. Because like if I opened your door and I just smelt it, I'll start tearing and like, oh God, oh God.
Very nice.
So,
all right, moving on from candy.
I guess that closes our candy topic for the evening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some movies. What have you seen
recently? Movies. I saw a couple of new movies recently. I saw Annihilation. It's the new science fiction film from Alex Garland, who made Deus Ex Machina. Or no, I'm sorry, it's not called Deus Ex Machina. It's just called Ex Machina.
Yeah, Ex Machina, yeah.
Yeah, he was the original one of the writers on Dread.
Yep.
And he was also a writer on another science
Wasn't
fiction.
The Crow?
I don't remember.
Alex Garland. I'm gonna look him up while you're talking about it.
He was a writer. But this is his second directorial movie, and it was really good. I liked it a lot. I thought it was very thought-provoking. It's not a fast-paced movie, as the trailers may give it that look of. If you liked Ex Machina, you'll definitely like this movie. Same kind of pacing, same kind of thought-provoking kind of film.
He wrote 28 Days Later, Sunshine.
That's what he wrote. He wrote... 28 Days Later, he worked with Danny Boyle a lot.
He wrote the Enslaved Odyssey to the West video game. You ever played that game?
No.
Oh, fucking great game from the last generation. It's really good.
Okay.
They need to remaster that game, I think.
Maybe they will.
Maybe. Now that we're talking about it, they should. So, yeah, that was...
So, anyway, Annihilation's pretty good. I liked it a lot. Natalie Portman's good in it. Had Oscar Isaacs in it, who's from Star Wars fame.
Just a little quick side note, Enslaved was the first video game that Andy Serkis worked on.
Wow.
Yeah, doing all the voice, or the, capture.
Body capturing
motion
for
capture. Good game.
So that come out around the same time as Lord of the Rings did, I guess?
2010?
Oh, way after Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. This is the first, when he was starting to get into it. That's really cool.
When he was becoming the master of motion capture?
Yep.
He's like, no, you're not moving your body right. You need to move it way.
This dude also wrote the Devil May Cry video game, DMC.
I never played that game either.
Came out 2013. I know Annihilation, wasn't that a Mortal Kombat movie?
It was also a video game, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it was Mortal Kombat Annihilation was the video game.
I think it was the sequel to the movie.
It was the second movie, yes.
Yeah.
The much, much worse one.
And he's writing the Halo screenplay.
Which one?
Is it the original screenplay announced?
For the video game, Halo?
I don't know, maybe the movie? If it ever when it comes out?
Didn't they make a couple of movies?
Not in a real one. They made one for the last
Ridley
game.
Scott was like a director on one of them, wasn't he?
They made a live action version for the last game.
Yeah, and like if you bought the game, you got the movie.
It had the guy from...
Had Luke Cage in it.
Luke Cage, yeah.
I never watched it, but
I think it was on the game.
I mean, at this point, who fucking cares about a Halo movie, right?
We got Ready Player One. That's a Halo movie.
I want to be excited for Ready Player One, but I'm not.
I'll probably see it, but yeah.
Like, I love Spielberg stuff too. Like, he's a great director.
I always forget that he directs it. He's directing this.
It doesn't look like one of his movies.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a CGI, like, jizz in your face fest. I'm like, look at all the CG effects.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
but I don't want to see a CGI jizz in my face.
That's pretty much what Ready Player One looks like on the trailer.
Yeah.
Look at all this nostalgia that you cared about. And plus, the book wasn't all that great, so...
I've never actually read the book.
Did you ever see Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
All right. You read the book.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, take Willy Wonka and video games and 80s pop culture about stuff that's very, very niche.
Yeah.
Mix it with a little bit of Dungeons & Dragons. And there you go. You have Ready Player
One.
There's
a market for that, and he's marketing to it.
I guess so.
That's why the movie's getting made.
The movie's getting made because the book did so well.
Yep. So let's go back to Annihilation here.
Annihilation.
Is it worth seeing?
I would say yes. I really liked it, but I don't think it's a movie for everyone.
I have a friend that's totally opposite of your opinion. He said he thought it was boring and it was not very good.
Mm.
Now, I saw The Arrival, and it feels very much on par with that type of pacing. Am I correct in that assumption?
I would say this one's probably a little bit more action-packed than that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a little bit more action, a little bit more... not a hysteria is not the right word, but like a little bit more tenseness in it.
Mm.
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it overall. Natalie Portman's performance was really good. I liked where the movie went at the end, even though it's kind of like it feels a little silly when you're watching it, but it's a kind of movie that just sticks with you afterwards.
Yeah,
and there's some genuine disturbing, like haunting moments in that movie.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to ruin it or anything, but there's a scene in the trailer where you see like this giant like creature. It's a bear that's been mutated. Okay. And fuck that bear.
I know in the commercial they're chasing him and they're in that cabin or something like that.
Right. That's a very tense moment and it's fucked up.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's a good movie. I liked it. I don't think everyone's going to like it. I don't think it's a cup of tea for
How
everyone.
How was it doing?
I think it came second place because it came out last week, right?
Maybe.
I think it came out last week or it's coming out this week, one or the other. But I think it's like, you know, on some people's radar, but not really.
Let's check out the Rotten Tomato score for Annihilation.
Because that's a parameter
to take.
That's
a real test we need to know, right?
Is it?
No. It's got an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's the 60th best reviewed sci-fi movie of all time.
Of all time. Wow.
60th. Yep.
I really liked Arrival, and that came out a year ago, I think, last year. Anyway, that was my favorite movie of last year, favorite sci-fi movie of last year.
Now, you saw another movie that was totally different, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, it was way different. I saw, well, because the original plan was to go see Black Panther. I've been trying to see Black Panther for like 2 weeks now, and people just can't get enough of that movie, apparently, because every time I go, it's like almost a packed house.
Yeah.
And I refuse to go to a movie that doesn't have good seats.
Buy your tickets ahead of time.
Well, I've been busy with work, so it's kind of like whenever I'm free, I go to the movies.
What did you see?
I saw Game Night instead.
Wow. Which pretty close to Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. Super close. what can I say about Game Night? Game Night was good. It was funny. Is it good? Great? No, not even near it. It's kind of like, because there's two directors in the movie. So the movie feels like two different tones at all times. And it also feels like...
It's directed by John Francis Daly.
I don't know who that is.
He was... what's the name of that show that used to be really popular? The Judd Apatow TV show?
Freaks and Geeks?
Yes, Freaks and Geeks. He was also on Bones and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I forgot that he was a screenwriter and now he's a director.
Okay.
He was a screenwriter for Spider-Man Homecoming as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see some of the jokes from there. It was fit into Homecoming. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
So anyway, it feels like the people, the filmmakers of Game Night watched a whole bunch of movies that they liked and picked apart shit that they liked from that movie and like just put it in a blender around this generic idea for the movie that they have. which is, you know, there's a game night, something's afoot. You think it's going to be one thing, but it turns out not to be that one thing. And then everything that they set up in the beginning pays off in the end.
So it's like The Hangover, and it's like...
No, I wouldn't say like it's like The Hangover.
Not that type of comedy?
No, not... It's not... It's a little
dark comedy, or...
Well, there's some dark moments.
Yeah.
Some fucked up moments. There's some really funny moments, too. Like, some genuinely funny moments. There's a guy who's a dumb guy who sucks at game night, and he always loses. And he always... he's going on and on about how, like, rich people have, like, fight clubs and shit. Like, they just get hobos off the street, and they just have fight clubs. And, there's a really good moment with that when they finally do find a accidental fight club. And then, I can't remember the guy's name, the main black guy in the movie. It's going to kill me because he was on SNL. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think it matters to him.
Well, I mean, I don't remember his name. Jason Bateman was the top bill.
Okay.
Yeah, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, the black dude in the movie's funny. I liked him a lot. And then they had that other guy from Friday Night Lights. He was pretty good. He plays a cop.
Never saw Friday Night Lights, too.
The TV show? You never watched the TV show?
I watched it. Or the movie, either.
Man, you're missing out.
Guess so.
Good TV, and you're just poo-pooing on it, huh? Oh, then it has that guy, another guy from Friday Night Lights. Has the fucking coach from Friday Night Lights in there. He plays Jason Bateman's brother.
Who's the coach?
He was in that show Bloodline that's on Netflix.
Michael C. Hall?
No, he's in it too. Dexter?
Yep.
Yeah. God, what the fuck's that guy's name?
Danny Houston?
Nope. I think that's the black dude.
Nope.
Nope.
That guy looks like his name is Lamorne Morris.
Oh.
He looks familiar though.
Cause he's on SNL maybe?
Is he on SNL?
I think so. That's what he looked like. He was from
SNL. New Girl.
Oh, I never watched that show. But anyway, it's good. I liked it. But the only problem I have with it, it feels very candy-coated comedy. You know, it's like it's one of those movies that feels very superficial when you're watching it. Doesn't feel like an organic comedy or anything. Which is, you know, at the same time, I complain about those comedies where people are just improvising the whole entire time.
Right.
And this is not one of those movies, and I applaud it for that. But at the same time, if like a lot of the jokes just feel forced, or...
I'd be interested in seeing it, because every once in a while, I like just to go to a movie and just like turn your brain off and
see it. It's exactly what this movie is. It's a funny movie that...
Shit, I saw Chips in the theater, so...
Oh, man, you wasted your dollars there, didn't you?
Not really.
Well, it has Dex Shepard, so it's pretty bad.
Yeah. That's probably why we watched it. Truthfully.
Those are the two movies I saw in theaters. I finally finished Altered Carbon, which is...
Have not started that yet.
God damn, that show is so fucking good. The best thing Netflix has ever produced.
I finished The Maron Show. Mark Maron,
yeah. That was good.
That was... The last season is not...
I never finished it. I watched, like, maybe season one.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fourth season, completely different show, but it's really good.
Is he still self-loathing?
I'm not going to spoil it for you.
I'm probably never going to watch it.
He's a Jew. Of course he is.
Well, you said it. I didn't. So I guess...
Too. I can't deny my people.
What else? Altered Carbon's great. If anybody loves science fiction shit at anything, at any level.
Yeah.
Just fucking...
I want to watch that.
Just fucking sit down. And this first episode's a little convoluted and a lot's going on. But if you stick with it, fuck, it just gets better and better each episode.
I watched the second half of The Tick.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I watched the first half and thought it was boring as shit.
No. Well, man. That's your opinion. That made me feel bad for my opinion because I liked it.
I'm not. I just giving
don't
you...
Don't tick shame me.
I'm not.
Okay, good.
The comics were great and the original TV show was great.
You know, there's a comic series right now, The Tick, written by Cullen Bunn.
Isn't that the creator of The Tick?
No, that's Ben Edlund.
Oh. Cullen Bunn, who's that?
He usually writes dark or fair.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Well, I know you have. I'm going to have to pull up his credence, his creed.
Credence? Isn't that the guy who directed Black Panther?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'm joking. It's funny, though, how the guy, his name is Ryan Coogler.
Coogler.
Yeah, it almost close to Cougar, and directed Black Panther.
It'd be fun if his last name was Ryan Panzer.
Actually, there was a guy in line to direct the movie Black Panther. His name was Ryan Pantier.
So, Cullen Bunn has written a lot for Deadpool.
Oh, that's where I know his name.
Captain America, Spider-Man,
and
Wolverine.
He's doing like a brand new series called The Ice Cream Man or something like that.
Venom, yeah. I'm just looking at Marvel right now. Cable and X-Force, Moon Knight, Drax. Let's see.
He's done he has some comedy flair to him. Deadpool and Drax is totally comedy.
Yeah. He did a lot for DC, too. Wow.
That's why I know his name. I know him from Deadpool.
Yeah. Harrow County, if you haven't read that, that's actually a really good series.
Harrowing County?
Harrow County.
Harrow County.
Yeah. I read that book.
All right.
The trade. But yeah, it's yeah, here it is right here, actually.
It's the Tick beating up a whole bunch of people.
Yep. That's the way it should be, right?
So what's so good about the new series, Carrie? Please enlighten me.
Of what? The Tick?
Yeah, The Tick.
It's one of my favorite characters of all time.
Okay, besides that. Even though they bastardize him in the in the TV show.
How do they bastardize him? Bastardize him.
Bastardize.
How do they bastardize him?
I don't know, because it's just chained on to this heavy weight of the Arthur character that they picked, who is so boring and drab.
Okay, I will admit, the second part of the season, Arthur is the worst part of the show.
Yes.
He was this very
he's
whiny
just annoying.
And bitchy. Yeah.
And then all the villains are just, ugh. And, like, they're supposed to be funny, but they're not funny.
I think Jackie Earle Haley, the terror?
Yeah.
He does some really funny stuff in the second
part.
He's
the only one who actually has good makeup on the show.
Yeah.
Everyone else is horrible.
There's a whole subplot where he's like playing drums like the whole time. It's pretty funny.
Is it?
Yes. Don't do it like that.
Is it?
It is.
Is it?
It is.
And the guy playing the Tick,
he
doesn't have the character of the Tick. It doesn't.
He does.
It doesn't.
He does.
He doesn't embody that. When he says the lines, it doesn't come off as like, this guy is full of himself and he's fucking funny. It doesn't come off that way.
I disagree on that. This is just one of those things where we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Well, because you're usually wrong about everything, Gary.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I am totally 100% not wrong about
this. I'm never wrong about anything. So let's just go on with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we need to get out a list?
Sure, because I guarantee you I'm right on all of them.
Now you sound like the Tick, full of yourself.
Well, if I had like a boasting voice, you know, where he tries
again?
A boasting voice.
Okay, that was not good.
No, I wasn't really trying. It sounded more like Plankton from SpongeBob. Hey, SpongeBob.
Want to talk about Black Panther at all?
Oh, we can talk about it. I haven't seen it, but I can kind of guess what happens in the movie, but just from the trailer.
I went last weekend. It's a really good movie. Is it the best Marvel movie? Maybe not, but it's pretty high up there.
It's making money.
It's
like
making a shitload of money.
Make a fuck ton of money. Like
everybody
it's the best
in the
Marvel
movie was really, really good. It was beautifully directed. The cinematography was great.
Now,
a little predictable in spot, but I'm definitely gonna overlook that.
Now, my biggest problem with it, and this I've only seen the main trailer that they put out, the after the teaser, the first real main trailer where they show,
now.
Huh?
I need my chocolate now.
Okay, eat your chocolate. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, so I'm just judging on the trailer that I've seen. But is the CGI as bad as it is in the trailer? Because goddamn, it looks ugly as fuck.
No, it's cool.
The CGI just looks so bad in the trailer.
Are you talking about the character?
Like, there's a scene where, like, he's on the plane and he does the cross the arms and he falls through and he, like, throws these bombs or whatever.
Yeah.
It looks like 2003 Spider-Man graphics on the trailer. And then, like, there's a couple
of... I don't know if it's that bad, but...
There's a couple other, like, they're really quick shots in the trailer, so I don't know how much of it's in the movie. But there's a part where he's fighting who I'm assuming is Michael B. Jordan in another Black Panther suit. And
yeah,
you're
correct.
And I'm assuming that they're fighting each other because one wants to take over Wakanda and the other one says no or whatever.
You haven't seen this movie?
No. I'm just guessing. I'm guessing from the trailer. I don't know if Michael B. Jordan's the purple Black Panther or if he's the gold one. I can't tell. Because you can't see their face.
I will tell you, Michael B. Jordan was great.
Michael B. Jordan's great in everything he's in.
But I think they... I'm not a big fan of...
Black people? That's racist,
I did
bro.
Not say that.
You had the look in your eye like you wanted to say
I
that.
I wasn't a fan of where they brought his character in the movie.
Why?
They could have just done a little bit more, I think. I don't know. I mean, it was...
What he didn't... Because he wanted to take over Wakanda? Is that what happens?
Well, not that, but just the way it ended, it was just... I don't want to get into that.
Because he loses? Obviously, he loses because...
How do you know that?
Because Black Panther's going to be in the Infinity trailer.
Damn it. Damn it, Marvel, giving away your own shit.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, they confirmed Black Panther 2 already, so...
Have they already?
That's what I heard.
I don't know. I haven't heard that yet.
Okay.
I imagine they will.
I can't... I mean, I guess.
It's made a metric shit ton of money.
Or, no, I think they mentioned a spin-off movie of the female characters, is what they mentioned.
They're all great. His sister, I think her name was Shuri in the character.
Shuri?
Name? Shuri. She was great.
Shuri.
She was fantastic. The girl from The Walking Dead.
Michonne. She's in the movie?
Yeah, she's in the movie.
Oh, wow.
She's one of the she's the head of the
with
the
her secret... fake dreads?
No, she's bald in this movie.
Oh, well, she's really bald in real life.
Well, yeah, I know she is.
So
I can't think of the Yeah, Denai is her name. But there's like this lead.
Just call her Michonne. That's what we Michonne. Know her. Yeah.
She's leader of this group of people that are sort of like the.
Oh,
like,
so she's a bad person?
No. Oh. She protects like the crown. Whoever is in the crown.
Oh, she's like a secret warrior.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
She's the leader of the warriors.
Cool.
Yeah. They're all female too, and they're all badass.
Right on. So going off of what I know in the trailer. That's my major concern is the CGI looks like crap. And I'm tired of I'm tired of seeing these superhero movies with a crap ton of CGI. I'm just tired of it.
Well, there's a lot of CGI in the movie.
I'm tired of it. I don't want any more CGI crap fests.
Well, you have Infinity War to look forward to then.
I probably won't see that in theaters.
No, you will.
I don't know. I haven't seen this, Black Panther, and I didn't go see Justice League.
That was a CGI crap fest.
It looked like a CGI crap fest, just like Black Panther looked like a CGI crap fest.
No, no.
Like I get the importance of Black Panther, and I get why people are all about it, and that's cool. I think that's great for them. For me, I'm just tired of these superhero movies all being the fucking same.
We've talked about this before. You've reached critical mass, I think.
Yeah, I just don't care anymore. Like my giving a shit level. It's very low.
What about the new Ant-Man and Wasp?
That changed my mind.
Yeah.
Well, not changed my mind. I shouldn't say that. But I liked Ant-Man in the whole little world scenario that they played so much because the effects of the little world when he shrinks looks great. And it plays well in the movie. And the trailer looks fun. And I like Paul Rudd. So those go all together. You know. It is what it is.
Have you seen a movie? I heard him on the Marin podcast. Duncan Jones, who he just put a movie out on Netflix called Mute.
It's on my queue. I have not watched it, but people are fucking shitting on it.
I know. I saw that. It looks good, but it's like Paul Rudd and Alexander Skarsgård. And then somebody else. I can't remember who it is.
I don't know.
Justin Theroux, maybe?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
It looks good. I mean... I hear it, listen to the interview, and I'm like, oh, it makes me want to see the movie.
Well, the fact that Duncan Jones directed it makes me want to see it, because I liked Moon a lot.
Yeah.
And then I liked, what was that other movie he made with Jake Gyllenhaal? Source Code. Yeah, I liked those two movies
a lot. I even liked Warcraft or what it was.
I didn't like Warcraft.
I didn't figure you would.
There was parts of it I liked, though. There was parts of it that were really beautiful. Like, the parts with the orcs were great.
There's a great.
Like, anytime the orcs are on screen and talking and when the dude's kind of figuring out what they're doing, I thought that was a great part of the movie. But then they went back to the humans and it was just kind of like, oh, this is fucking boring.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what it is about, like, the state of movies. I just don't fucking care about these superhero movies anymore.
Well, let's move on then. Have you been playing any games recently?
I'm trying to think. I have been playing a game. I'm trying to think what it's called. It's an old game. Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
The sequel, though, not the first one.
Okay.
I got the sequel for like $2 during a PlayStation sale.
Yeah.
So I'm playing it.
Is it good?
Oh, it's fun.
This one where you, it's first person, but you run around the wall of walls and stuff like that.
Right. It's made by EA and DICE. And I guess it's like one of their earlier partnerships. And it has like that good textures like Battlefront did. Even though Battlefront was a shit game, it looked pretty as fuck. And there's parts of this that look pretty. It looks dated too at times.
Yeah.
But the mechanics are fun. It's a little repetitive. At times it seems a little too difficult and I just get pissed off.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, I'm also playing Paranorman because they re-released it on PS4.
Paranorman? There's a game?
I'm not Paranorman. Psychonauts. Reminds me of Paranorman.
Psychonauts, yeah.
Yes, Psychonauts.
Psychonauts.
And I'm playing that as well. I'm almost done with that game. I played it a long time ago, and it was on sale for $3, and I got it.
It's a great game.
Yeah, it's fun. You could totally tell that the voice actor from Invader Zim is in it.
Really?
Yeah, he's the main kid in the game.
When did that come out?
Like early 2000s.
PS4?
No, PS2, I think.
No, it came out originally in 2005 on PS2. I still have my original version of it.
I rented it from Blockbuster.
Yeah. I love Double Fine. I love a lot of what they put out.
What else of games have they made?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's Richard Horvitz. He was the lead character in the game. I did not even realize that.
Yeah, it's also Invader Zim.
Yeah. You are... Wow, that's cool.
Like, soon as, like, that sounds like Invader Zim.
They're working on a sequel, apparently.
Yeah, that's why I bought it.
Yeah. One of my favorite Double Fine games was Brutal Legend. The Jack Black
game. Oh, the Jack Black game. Yeah. I never played that.
Grim Fandango.
I have that game, too. That's a hard game.
I guess remastering some of that stuff. But let's see. I'm looking up some of their games. I mean, I like Tim Schafer a lot. He's like the main guy. So Brutal Legend, Costume Quest, Stacking, which was great. Double Fine Action, Happy Action Theater.
I don't know what that is.
The Cave, which was really cool.
I don't know what that is either.
Broken Age, which was it was a retro like point and click adventure style game.
Okay.
Let's see. They did do Grim Fandango Remastered and Day of the Headlander. If you haven't played Headlander yet, that's fucking great.
I don't even know that is either.
Yeah. It was a published by Adult Swim, but it was a, I think it's on PS4. I have it on, but it's a downloadable game. So the basic thing is you're a head and you can move your head around to different bodies and take over different bodies to get around the levels.
Okay.
It's really fun.
All right.
It's difficult. It's more, it's like a puzzle action game, you know?
It's kind of like what Psychonauts is.
Yeah. Yeah. They're good at that kind of stuff. But yeah, I like Double Fine a lot.
So, yeah. I heard that they were making a sequel. Then they had the first game on sale. So, I bought it.
Cool.
I haven't bought anything else, though. I haven't played anything else. I still have some other games I need to, like, play through. I bought stuff from Black Friday.
Yeah. I, was playing a lot of the Shadow of War game.
Oh, I haven't played that yet. I bought it. I haven't played it.
I just got... I'm just like, all right, I'm done for a while.
That's how I felt about Mad Max, the video game. Did you ever play that game?
I did. I never got very far.
I really liked that game a lot. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of stuff to do, but there's at times where it feels a little repetitive, and so you just get kind of burnt out, I guess.
Yeah. No, I haven't been playing my Switch a lot. I've been playing Bayonetta 2.
You know, Catherine and I are thinking about getting a Switch now.
You know,
because every time we go to the store, we always stop at the demo and we always play Mario Kart.
I'm going to tell you, dude, I really like the Switch way more than I thought I ever would.
Hmm.
It's a really nice, convenient handheld system.
Uh-huh.
But it looks great on the TV, too.
Is it a 1080p or is it still 720?
Most of it's 720. But
That's disappointing.
But it's full. Most of the games put out for it, at least first-party games, are going to be 60 frames per second at 720p. So they're going to look beautiful. anything on that screen looks amazing.
Yeah, well, because it's on a smaller screen. Right. But like 720 on a big screen doesn't look
great. It still looks great.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Because all the game displays are all like smaller than 30 inches. So yeah. That's why it looks okay, I guess.
I definitely, if you're thinking about it, I definitely recommend getting it. There's some phenomenal stuff on that.
Well, I keep seeing this stuff for like, it's like Nintendo Ludo.
The
papercraft stuff that they're coming out.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Why? It looks cool.
It's weird.
It makes me, that's what makes me interested and think about picking one up.
Ludo sad.
Oh, the fucking labyrinth thing? Is that what you're... I've never seen labyrinth.
Isn't it called Lubo or...
I think it's Lubo or something like that. Yeah. It looks cool. The fact that you can just build stuff for your game and play physically.
I know, but it's a gimmick thing still, but whatever.
It's not like they're charging a lot of money for it yet. Well, they haven't even released it yet, as far as I know.
Mm. I think one of the sets
trailer like looks fucking awesome. And the fact that you can wear like a backpack and control a robot looks cool.
They got you on the marketing.
Yeah, well, you know, if it sells, you know, a $300 system, then it works, right?
I definitely cannot recommend the Switch enough.
There's just not enough games for me to buy one. I mean, I just can't really. I know I said this before that I bought a PS4 just for Uncharted, but
you got Mario Kart.
You
have Super Mario, the new Super Mario game.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
And that's it.
Metroid's coming out.
I don't care.
Kirby's coming out.
No, I don't need it. Is what I'm trying to say. These are not games I need in my life.
I can't recommend buying it just for the Zelda game because I'm not a big fan of the Zelda game.
I've never been a big fan of Zelda either.
I am. It's just something about this new game. It just hasn't.
The Breath of the Wind or whatever.
Breath of the Wind. Yeah.
Is it now like an open?
Wild?
I don't know.
Breath of the Wild. Yeah.
I thought it was Breath of the Wind, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just it's an open world game, ain't it?
It is, yeah.
And I thought you would like that.
You know, here's my thing with it. You start off with normal Zelda game. You start off, you get your sword, and then you start.
This one's like Fable, right? Where you start with nothing.
Yeah, and here's the thing about that: you're getting further and further in the game. You start fighting people, and you're picking up weapons off the ground. Picking up a stick and it breaks after you hit somebody twice, and it's just the beginning part of that game,
the ramp up, you mean?
It's just not there for me. I want a good sword that doesn't fucking break every two hits.
Well, beat somebody and get a good sword.
It doesn't take that. It takes a long time apparently.
Is there not like missions to stuff and to do like that to get like better equipment?
There is, but it's way further in the game.
Oh.
I think the ramp up in this game, it's uneven.
But you got this, the Breath of the Wind, or the new Zelda game, whatever, you got it on the other system they have, right? Not the Switch.
Well, no, I actually traded that in.
Oh, you did?
Towards the Switch version, so I paid a smaller amount for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to get into it on here, and I just haven't yet. But...
Maybe you'll get past the hump that maybe you'll make you like it.
One of the other
podcasts, because every Zelda fan says it's the best thing ever.
One of the other podcasts that I listen to is the Cheap Ass Gamer podcast, and one of the guys on there
they have a podcast.
They do. They've been listening to it for like 12 years.
What do they talk about? Just good deals.
They talk about video games.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. That's the only video game show that I actually listen to.
Uh-huh.
One of the guys on the show, his name is Wombat. Yeah,
that's not his real name.
No, it's not.
Okay.
But he's a huge, huge Zelda nerd. Named his dog Zelda. And
is it a female dog?
I never asked a dog. It might be. I don't know.
Because isn't it Zelda the princess name?
That's correct.
Yeah. And Link's the guy.
That's right. He's not a big fan of this game either. And if he's not a big fan of it, and he tried. He literally did try to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to say I won't try it.
Uh-huh.
I won't try more, but I've been playing other stuff, so.
Okay.
Like Bayonetta 2, been playing that a little bit.
Never played it.
It's a fucking weird ass game made by Platinum Games.
Isn't that a Japanese game?
Very, very. It's a Japanese. It is very Japanese style.
It's people with like gun swords.
Yes,
I've seen the box.
Yeah, it's definitely a Japanese style game.
Okay, like Devil May Cry and stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't like those games.
So this game is just off the wall fucking weird.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about it, but it's fun. All
right.
That, and I'm playing more of the Lego Marvel 2, trying to beat that.
I was so close to buying it.
You should.
It was, they had it on sale at Best Buy for like a week or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was on sale for $40 as opposed to their normal $60. And I was going to buy it, and then for some reason I talked myself out of it.
The other thing I've been playing, I'm getting ready to, I just started it with Axiom Verge. It's a one guy made this game. And it's a love letter to Metroid.
I'm about to say it looks like
it's
a Metroid.
It's totally
game.
Like a Metroid. Which is like my style right there. I love Metroid games.
Yeah, it looks like an old school Nintendo game.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. I can't say that I'm excited about it. But.
Yeah. It was on it came out on PS4 a couple years ago, maybe. Yeah. It's been around for a while.
It's like a side scroller.
But yeah, this is the type of the game that's made perfectly for like the Switch, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. What else do you want to talk about?
There's Oscars coming up.
This weekend, right?
I believe it's a Sunday.
Yeah. As we're recording, yeah. Who are you rooting for? you want to give our predictions now?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do a quick prediction.
I haven't seen most of the movies, but...
What are we going to call this episode? I think we should just call this episode Kitchen Sink Episode.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord Geekery. Let's see.
I should watch it so maybe they give the wrong movie to the winner to the wrong movie.
Oscar nominated movies.
Let's see what I've seen out of any of these movies, truthfully. Probably not much. Okay, so Darkest Hour, have not seen it.
I have not seen that, but Gary Oldman, timepiece. He's in a fat suit. Definitely going to win.
Call Me By Your Name.
Get nominations. I don't think he's going to win, though. Call Me By Your Name is that Italian movie with Armie Hammer.
Oh yeah, that's one. He's like an older gay guy that like has a relationship with like a young guy or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw a preview for that. Dunkirk.
Are you just looking at Best Picture?
Yeah, right now. Right.
I'm trying to find Best Picture on here.
I did see Dunkirk.
I did see Dunkirk too. I thought it was all right.
It was it was nicely made. Is this a different movie than I wanted to see?
I think what it is, it's a great movie without a narrative. Mm-hmm. Like there's no emotional narrative to keep you centered to care about anyone. It's not
right.
It's not Christopher Nolan's Saving Private Ryan. You know, there's no central character to latch onto to care about.
I agree on that. It was a good movie, but.
It's brilliantly made.
I wasn't emotionally involved.
It's brilliantly made. The editing and the music alone is fantastic. But I don't think it's going to win Best Picture either.
So next one is Get Out. I saw that.
Get Out is a fantastic movie.
But is it Oscar worthy winning?
I don't know. I mean, there are a couple of movies on here that I have not seen.
Yeah.
That I think could win. But I did like Get Out, and I thought it was a very brilliantly made movie. And the fact that it's a dramatic thriller on here is pretty great that he's nominated. And, you know, Jesus, first debate directorial debut for Keegan-Michael Key, right?
Jordan Peele. Yeah.
It's amazing, right?
You think he's not going to act anymore because he loves directing so much.
Why would you, right?
Get nominated for an Oscar, your first movie
time out, right? Jesus Christ.
So next we have Lady Bird. Have you seen that?
No, but I do know what it's about, and I heard a lot of buzz about it.
What is it about?
It's about this girl who's about to go to college, and the relationship between her and her parents is just degrading, and she's taking it really rough. And it's supposed to be like a mother-daughter movie where the daughter's having a meltdown, basically, and doing all the
things. All I know about it is there's a monkey song featured in the soundtrack and in the movie. From the Monkey's Head movie.
That's more than enough a reason for you to watch it.
Probably. I probably will see it when it comes out.
I did hear that this movie is essentially the same plot as an older movie that I have seen called Real Women Have Curves.
I've heard of that. I've never seen that, but I've heard
it has America Ferrera. Mm-hmm. I think that's her name.
Ugly Betty?
Yes, her. She's in it. And that was a really good movie. I liked that a lot.
Superstore show now?
That got canceled.
It got canceled, really?
I think it got canceled.
I don't think so.
It didn't?
I don't think
so.
It
should have got canceled.
Phantom Thread.
That was the Daniel Day-Lewis movie where he plays... Last movie. Yeah, supposedly his last movie. supposedly. I mean, supposedly. That's not going to be his last.
The Post. That looks interesting. I would have seen that.
Yeah, that's
not,
the...
It's not a theater movie for me, though.
Really?
I don't know.
I wanted to see that. It's just... I didn't make time for it.
The Shape of Water, the movie I did see.
I did see that. Very good. I don't think it's best picture worthy.
It's one of Del Toro's best, but it's probably not better than some
it's
of the
It's not better movies. Than Pan's Labyrinth, though. And Pan's Labyrinth didn't
True.
Win.
But Pan's Labyrinth was way more fantasy, not... Well, like, this was fantasy.
I mean, people say, like, I don't know, this is pretty much fantasy, bro.
Pan's Labyrinth was a little bit more...
Fantastical?
Off the beaten path. This was like, okay, the story about a guy... A girl and a guy falling in love is a basic storyline. You know what I mean?
It's Little Mermaid in reverse.
Yes. I saw something recently where there was like a video. It's like Moana and the Little Mermaid are the same movie, but in reverse.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can see that. One's trying to get away from water. One's trying to go to water. Yeah, that makes sense.
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which I heard is phenomenal.
I saw that movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was really good.
I need to see that.
Depressing as fuck, though. But... Not a fun time at the movies to see, but it's really good. The lady, what's her name? Frances McDormand.
Yeah, from Fargo.
Yeah, she's really good.
That's what I keep on hearing.
And Sam Rockwell's really good in it, too.
Best actress, we want to go into that?
Sure.
We don't have to do it all, but...
We can do the best stuff. Let's see.
Best actress, you have Sally Hawkins, The Shape of Water, Meryl Streep, Frances McDormand, Margot Robbie, and...
But we didn't pick our best picture. What do you think is going to pick Ronan. Best picture?
Oh, best picture? Out of the ones I've seen?
Yeah.
I've seen three of them.
You've seen Dunkirk, and you've seen...
Shape of Water and Get Out.
Out of those three, which one is your...
Shape of Water.
Your runner. Really? You think Shape of Water has a good chance?
Out of the three that I've seen, I like Get Out, but it's not... I don't know. But I'm a Del Toro fanboy, too.
Man, I want to say Shape of Water would win, because that is a good choice. However, I think...
It's probably going to be Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I think Lady Bird's going to make a push at the end. Mm. I think Lady Bird's going to win the Best Picture.
Okay. Well, we'll find out next week, right?
We'll find out Sunday.
Sunday. Out of the ones I've seen, I've only seen one. She was good. Sally Hawkins in that movie was great.
You think she's going to win that?
No, I don't think she's going to win that.
I don't think she's going to win that.
It's probably going to be Meryl Streep or Frances McDormand.
We're doing best actress in a leading role.
But I hear Margot Robbie does a really good job in
I, Tonya was fucking great.
I want to see it still.
It was great. However, I don't think she's going to win. I think Frances McDormand's going to win.
Okay.
But of course, you're also going against Meryl Streep, who always wins.
Yeah. Best actor, we have Daniel Day-Lewis, Timothy Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out, Denzel Washington, Gary Oldman. It'd be cool to see Gary Oldman win.
Gary Oldman's won before, though.
It'd still be cool to see him win. He was in one of my favorite movies of all time, so.
I think they're going to give it to the Call Me By Your Name guy. Or Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah, because this is like supposedly his last time. But he's won a couple of times before, too. He's won for My Left Foot, and I think he's won for... There Will Be Blood, right? Oh, no, he won for Lincoln, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I took my grandma to see Lincoln.
I didn't see that movie.
It was interesting.
Well,
it was a long movie.
I tried watching it on TV once, and I was like, all right, where are the vampires?
No.
That's all.
Different movie.
Yeah, that's all I kept on thinking about.
Best writing adapted screenplay, Mudbound, The Disaster Artist, Molly's Game, Aaron Sorkin, Call Me By Your Name, James Ivory, Logan, James Mangold, and Michael Green.
What is this? Hold on. What?
Best writing adapted screenplay.
Best.
That's cool that Logan's in that category.
Adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think Logan should win this.
That'd be cool. But.
I don't think it will, but.
Maybe The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of...
There was a lot of hype on that.
But there's a lot of...
I saw that. I didn't think it was all that
There's a lot of bad stuff going along with Franco right now.
Oh, because of the sexual assault stuff?
All right, moving on. Best Supporting Actor, Sam Rockwell, Woody Harrelson, Christopher
Plummer. What
about Plummer?
Original screenplay? You told
I haven't
me
got there yet.
You skipped the original screenplay.
Well, it's not on my...
You went from adapted screenplay to
well,
not.
The one I'm looking at doesn't... It skips around there.
Oh.
So let's look... Okay, we'll do Best Original. Shape of Water... Three Billboards, Get Out, The Big Sick, Lady Bird.
Now, this is the movie I think Get Out should win for.
This is the one I think the Big Sick should win for.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it's all that original. It's a romantic comedy. It's based off.
I thought it was great.
I think Get Out's totally original.
It was original.
I've never seen a thriller with that premise, and that kept me that invested.
All right. Okay, let's move on.
You want to wrap it up with music and best director? We all know who's going to win best animated picture.
Coco.
Yeah, because it's a Pixar movie.
And it was good, too.
It was okay.
Let's see. Best original music score? Are you talking about best original song?
Or best original score.
Last Jedi, Shape of Water, Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, or Three Billboards?
I want Dunkirk to win this. Because Hans Zimmer is the fucking man. But I did love the music in Shape of Water.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, John Williams is John Williams, right? Has John Williams ever won an Oscar?
You know, I don't know.
He must have, right?
He must have.
But when I saw Star Wars, I didn't think like anything stood out about the music.
Yeah, I mean, there was
it just sound like the same old theme.
Yeah. I mean, Shape of Water was pretty good too.
I did like the music in Shape of Water, but I think Dunkirk should win.
Okay. And best original song.
Best original song. It's probably going to be, you know, Coco.
I've been hearing that song from the Showman movie, whatever it is.
The Greatest Showman?
I've never heard it, but so.
This Is Me?
Yeah. Let's move on since we don't really know what the fuck we're talking about there.
All right. Best director.
Del Toro, Jordan Peele, Greta Gerwig, Christopher Nolan, or Paul Thomas Anderson?
I think Del Toro should win this.
That'd be cool, but I think it's probably going to go to Jordan Peele.
You think so?
That would be...
I don't think he's going to win it.
I don't know.
It's his first one.
Yeah.
There's no way he's going to be that much of the darling of the Oscars. But they did get shamed big time last year about, you know, the lack of diversity.
Right.
So, I don't know. It could be like a surprise win.
I'm truthfully rooting for Del Toro. I think that would be amazing if he does win.
I think Del Toro should win for this one because he hasn't won in the past.
No. I don't think he's ever had a movie that's been this widely accepted.
Whatchamacallit? The one I just mentioned earlier, you said it was
Labyrinth?
Pan's Labyrinth had the same amount of juice behind it.
Yeah, but it was never an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, it was.
Well, not like this.
What do you mean? It was nominated for Best Foreign Film.
What, Best Foreign Film? Not Best Picture, though, overall. You know what I mean? This movie is at a different level than he's ever done.
Because it's an American market movie.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, we didn't talk about supported actor. Best supporting actor. Yeah. Sam Rockwell, Woody Harrelson, Christopher Plummer, William Dafoe, and Richard Jenkins.
Hold on. I got to get to the actor in a supporting role here. I have not seen The Florida Project, but I heard William Dafoe is just great.
Yep.
Woody Harrelson was just playing Woody Harrelson, but he was good in it.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Jenkins, he was the gay guy, right?
The neighbor, yeah.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal.
He was good.
He was great. I want him to win it, but
Christopher Plummer, I don't think he's going to win.
That's the movie that...
where they shot in like 2 weeks.
They reshot it in like a couple weeks because of what's the name? Because
Netflix guy.
Yeah.
What the fuck's his name?
I put him out of my mind.
Kevin Spacey.
There you go.
I think Sam Rockwell is going to win this one. Because he was fantastic in Three Billboards.
Okay. I like the Rockwell. He's cool.
You like the Rockwell?
I like the Rockwell. He rocks well.
Actress in a leading role or in a supporting role. I think we have Mary J. Blige in Mudbound, which is on Netflix, which I've been meaning to watch.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a Netflix movie.
Okay.
I would tell you the plot, but I don't know it. I've seen the trailer maybe once and it looked interesting. Allison Janney from I, Tonya. This is the lady I think is going to win. She plays Tonya Harding's mother.
Right. I've seen clips from it.
She's really good. Fan-fucking-tastic. Let's see.
Leslie Manville
from Phantom Thread, which I have not seen.
Laurie Metcalf.
I'm guessing that's the girl, the young teenager from Lady Bird.
I don't know.
And Octavia Spencer from Shape of Water, who she was great in that movie, but at the same time, she was just kind of playing herself.
Yeah.
I felt.
I don't think that's not deserving of a...
Yeah, it's not an award-winning role that she had there.
Yeah.
She wasn't like really like biting her teeth into the scenery or anything like that. Not like that one movie where she played the help and she told that lady that she was eating a shit pie. That was a great, great moment.
Is there, where was like the best production and
Cinematography.
There you go. That's what I was looking for.
We have Blade Runner 2049, Roger Deakins, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, and Shape of Water. Now, I thought Shape of Water looked pretty.
Yeah.
But the prettiest movie on that whole list was Blade Runner 2049.
That'd be great for Roger Deakins to
win. And he's never won.
No.
And he's made so many movies that are beautiful. And he definitely needs
to win. This is definitely where Blade Runner needs to win.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good movie. I liked it a lot.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't a good movie. It deserves to win.
It should win for this, yeah. You're absolutely right. And this and editing, I think it should win for.
So best visual effects, we have Star Wars The Last Jedi, Kong, Skull Island, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hey, would you ever imagine the day where Star Wars was nominated for the...
I know, right? War for the Planet of the Apes and Blade Runner 2049.
I think Blade Runner had amazing special effects.
But... does Star Wars always win special effects?
Well, they were nominated for Best Picture back in the 70s, weren't they?
Yeah. I don't know.
Kong Skull Island, it looked good, but wasn't like better than everyone else or whatever.
But I mean, this category is the visual effects. It's not about story, not about the movie itself. It's about how good it looked.
I'm talking about how good it looked. Yeah. I don't know. I can say that Kong Skull Island looked really good. Star Wars Last Jedi looked great, but did it look better than Blade Runner?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And War for the Planet of the Apes looked great too. So yeah. If it's going to be a winner, it's going to be between Planet of the Apes and Blade
this
Runner.
This is a hard category, really.
Yeah, I don't envy the voters for that one.
I mean, even Guardians of the Galaxy, even though it wasn't the best Guardians movie, it still looked great.
Yeah, but it didn't look better than...
no.
The other nominees.
What's the other category I wanted to talk? Film editing.
Film editing. The poo-poo
hand
awards.
Hand down winner, Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Baby Driver should win best editing. If not Baby Driver, then what's the other one that's nominated? I heard it earlier.
Shape of Water?
No. If Baby Driver doesn't win, I, Tonya should win.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just... brilliantly made and very well edited. The pacing on it's great. And
okay, very cool. So that was our hodgepodge of topics for this episode.
Hodgepodge.
We're gonna get into a quick George Hates Metal, and then we're gonna wrap up with what's tickling our geek and the end of the show. Be right back. Welcome back to the show. We are here at George Hates Metal, and I picked out this band this week. It's something that I've been grossly addicted to this past couple of days. I just discovered this band.
This is the Oceans band?
Yeah.
Oh, because we listened to a few things.
I discovered this band like on Friday, and
discovered. Spotify discover it for you?
Spotify discovered it for me on the release radar. And these guys are fucking phenomenal.
Is this their first album?
No, they have like two or three albums out before this.
Right on.
And I've dived deep into the catalog already.
Because they only have like six songs on each album?
No, but they're like 40 minutes long.
Okay.
No, they're not. So the band I'm talking about, it's a band called Ocean of Grief.
Not Oceans of Slumber.
Not Oceans of Slumber, which they have a new album coming out this weekend.
Oh,
it's
really?
Friday.
It's this weekend.
Yeah, it's Friday.
They're doing like an album release concert, aren't
album
they?
Album release concert at the Wide Oak Music Hall we're going.
That's
Friday
a really
night.
Good venue. You ever
I haven't been there?
Been there
yet.
It's a nice venue.
I'm looking forward to going there, actually. The album...
If I wasn't busy this Friday, I'd go.
The song we heard was called In Bleakness. I'm going to pull up their wiki page, and I'm going to get your
page.
Opinion about it while I'm doing that.
Okay. So that was the last song we listened to,
that
correct?
Is correct.
Well, the title of the song really talks about the type of music it is, ain't it? Just fucking bleak.
Yeah.
It was all right. It's just kind of something I tuned out after like 10 seconds of listening to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of this style of music.
Bleakness.
You should like these guys. Guess where they're from?
Sweden?
No.
Greece?
Yes.
Really?
They're from Athens and Attica, Greece.
Oh, wow. Go, yeah. Go
melodic
figure.
Doom death metal. Lyrical themes are sorrow, loneliness, and depression.
Man, they're going to kill each other at the end of this tour.
This is probably why every time there's like a big event like this in my life, I gravitate to this type of music. I definitely compare them to like what Swallow the Sun is. There's like that really beautiful juxtaposition between the harsh vocals and the beautiful guitar melody. It's just haunting. And
why is it really beautiful though? It just sounded
like
generic guitar.
Oh no, sir. These guys. Yeah.
Yeah? No? Maybe?
Definitely.
Oh, okay. It was an okay for me. I'm going to pass on that.
I'm going to sigh on that one.
Yeah, okay. It's a very bleak sigh.
yeah. I mean, if you're a fan of bands such as Amorphis, Opeth,
which I'm not.
Insomnium.
I do like that band.
Okay, very good. You know they're coming here in June, right? Headlining show.
I did not know that.
Yes. That I definitely hear traces of early Catatonia, that type of stuff.
I don't know who that
October is. October Tide. I know you don't. I'm explaining to the people that do know.
Oh, okay.
Like our good friend Derek out there.
I imagine our listeners who are like huge metalheads and they listen to this segment of the show, they're just screaming at the top of their lungs at me,
yeah.
Probably. Like, you don't know fucking anything. But the truth is, I know everything and y'all are all wrong.
So I love sad guitar melody.
Because you're a sad person.
I am a sad, sad person. But these guys, that itch I've been looking for this style of band since Swallow the Sun. These guys are filling that void for me, and I'm really digging them a lot.
You know what I realized is that my kind of metal is not the slow, dreary, sad stuff, with some exceptions of some bands, mm-hmm. like Insomnium, for example. They do have songs that are pretty slow and
they do.
Can be very dark and melodic. However, what I start to realize is that I like energy and fun, fast-paced metal.
So you should really like power metal.
I hate power metal because I hate the singer. I like
you just described power metal right there.
I like thrash metal, I think is what it really all boils down to, because it's what I grew up on mostly.
Yeah.
I grew up on old school Metallica and some Slayer, so.
But thrash metal has that style of vocal too.
Of like dreary sadness?
No, of like power metal style.
No, yeah. All right, I'll give it to you. There are a couple of bands that do have a little bit of power.
Every band.
There are some bands that do, but I don't listen to them. With the exception of Warbringer.
Yeah.
Am I saying that name
Warbringer,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have a couple of times where they kind of go into that area, but then they bring it back.
So I'm gonna make it easy for you next time.
Then Power Trip, which I've been listening a lot
Power
to.
Power Trip is great.
It's fucking awesome. It's like they came out of the 90s and just like slapped their dicks on everyone's faces.
They came out, they're like, hey, we love 1988.
Yeah.
This is what you're going to get.
Well, I was going to say 1990 power or thrash metal. This is what they really sound like.
It's that weird, you're right. It's that weird era of thrash metal when bands are trying new things. And they weren't afraid to try new things. That's what Power Trip are about.
Yeah, I really like it.
We saw them live, remember?
We did?
Yeah, they were the opening band for...
Holy shit, you're right. That was then. Holy fuck, I totally forgot. And I said, hey, that band's pretty good when we were there, didn't I? Holy shit, I never put that two together. I got pictures of that band.
Yep.
Hey, go figure. I should have bought their album when we were there.
I know, right?
All they had was a demo, though.
Without all they had?
Yeah, they only had like a two-track or a five-track album.
Okay. I thought they had an album out before this new one. This came out in 2017.
I don't know. I all I remember is they didn't have a lot of merch at the tables. So I didn't buy anything.
So I think next episode, we're going to have to give you an easy bone. We're going to give you some thrash metal, give you a little thrash metal history lesson, and we'll see what you sticks with you.
Okay.
And I think that'll be the easy way to do it.
Sure.
All right. So instead of moving on to our next thing, let's just go ahead and do what's tickling our geek. We're going to get into our sponsor talk, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Sure.
All right. So what's tickling your geek?
What's tickling my geek this week? I don't know if it's necessarily a tickle thing. I'm kind of excited to the fact that they're Joss Whedon left Batgirl.
You're excited for the fact?
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that.
You know
that.
You have a Joss Whedon fangirl sitting right next to you.
That's totally fine. I don't hate Joss Whedon. I don't think he's the right guy for the job.
Why is that?
One, he's been failing at everything he's made lately. Everything. Like...
Justice League?
Justice League for one. Age of Ultron for two.
All right, I'm going to... Age of Ultron, I think, was taken out of his hands a lot.
I don't think so.
I think so.
That's partly the reason why nobody wants to work with him. Because he's kind of an overbearing director, maybe. And maybe. A lot of the news has come out that he's just a bear to work with. He's not friendly unless he has his own team. And he's just not very cooperative from what I've read so far. Also,
there's nothing I can say because I haven't read these articles and I don't know him personally, so I don't.
I don't know him personally. I'm going off of what I've read and what I've observed. His shtick doesn't work anymore. It's old and contrived a little bit. It's been used a little too many times. And if you're going to do Batgirl, it needs to be something different, and it doesn't need to be the quick witty. Awesome adventure girl.
Well, what do you want it to be?
I want it to be something along the lines of what Wonder Woman tried to do.
What do you mean tried to do?
Wonder Woman tried to be... To be fair, I haven't finished Wonder Woman. I started watching it. I haven't got to the ending yet. I watched half of the movie and I fell asleep.
So you saw the good part of that.
I watched up to the part where she just arrived in England, and that's when I fell asleep. But that opening sequence is great. Like the whole Amazonians fighting and all getting killed off and stuff like that. There's some real like heroic courage moments in there, especially Gal Gadot's character, and that's what this needs to be because. It doesn't need to focus on Batman.
Right.
It needs to be a real character piece about a girl trying to do something more than what she...
Should it be the story of how she gets into a wheelchair?
You know, they should save that for the sequel.
Yeah. They should tackle that.
They should. I think...
How she turns into Oracle and
yeah, stuff? I think at some point, her story needs to intermingle...
Sorry, spoiler.
Intermingle with Night...
The Dark Knight movies?
Not Dark Knight movies. Fucking Robin when he becomes an adult.
Oh, yeah.
Nightwing.
Yeah.
Like, her story should intermingle with his, because I like...
You could bring Joseph with the Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right?
Yeah, they don't need... Just forget that story. Those are done. Close the books. Let it go.
Okay.
Do something new. They need to close the books on this. Once they're done with Justice League and Wonder Woman 2, close the books. Move on.
But we have the same last name.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, it would be cool to see them do, I don't know, and it would mean a lot for them to get another high-end caliber female director and writer to do this one.
Who would you want to see write this?
I would love to see Kathryn Bigelow do some action stuff again.
Hmm.
I really liked Point Break. I think Point Break's great. I know she's not really...
Dark 30, right?
Huh? Yes, she did do that. And she did a great job with Jessica Chastain in that.
Hmm.
You know? You know, just let other people play. And plus, you know, with the stink of the media that Joss Whedon has with him, I can understand why DC want to probably cut ties with him, and he doesn't want to deal with their bullshit because of how bad shit worked out with Justice League. But I'm pretty sure it has to do with the underperformance of Justice League, why he kind of
you might
set
be right,
sail.
That, and nobody knows the full extent of what he did and what he didn't do or what...
For what I understand, you can clearly tell in the movie what he did and what
you
didn't.
You can definitely see his influence, but...
But it's that stuff I don't think belongs in the Batgirl movie. His style, his stamp of work, I don't think fits that role. So, you know, I'm excited to see what they might do next. But, you know, as far as...
You think
as,
it's too late for DC?
No, I don't think it's too late. I think they should hit the reset button. Give it like a good 2 years.
Wonder Woman
plan this plan this shit out. They need to give themselves like 2-3 year break.
What they did with Wonder Woman was a great movie.
I haven't finished it yet, so I can't.
So, which is so weird because like the polarization between so you have a great movie like Wonder Woman, in the same year you have a not so great movie like Justice League featuring the same character. This goes to show what happens when you get a good director behind it and a
Someone who cared about the character. Yeah, exactly. They cared about the character, what they meant, and who they are internally and what they mean to the story. Not so much what happened in the comics.
I'm not putting this on Joss Whedon for Justice League because he probably...
Well, he was... From what I understand, he was trying to save a sinking ship.
Right, exactly right. I mean... He was given a certain hand to deal with, and he had to play that hand no matter what the outcome was. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and look, I get it. Zack Snyder has his style and approach, but his style needs to be done.
Yeah. Like, agreed.
They need to let that go and just be done with it. They need to hit the reset button for DC and, you know, maybe not focus on Batman. Because, goddamn, have we seen enough Batman yet? I mean, it seems like every year is a new Batman movie.
Enough Superman.
I mean, what Superman movies have you seen? You only seen one.
Man of Steel.
Yeah, one Superman
Batman
movie.
Batman v Superman.
No, that was a Batman movie with a candy coating wrapping of a Superman around it.
But it was a sequel to Superman, though.
Was it? It didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
It felt like we watched a Batman movie with parts of Superman in it, and even then it didn't feel like we were watching the real Batman movie. It felt like we were watching a murderous Batman. It's like GTA meets Batman.
GTA Gotham City.
There you go.
All right, so
I'm excited the possibilities of where they're gonna go. I think that's where I'm trying to get at.
I hope DC will succeed because I mean,
they have great characters.
They do have some great characters.
They have gods amongst men. That's what their characters are.
I hope they didn't make
it. That's the difference between them and Marvel.
I hope they make a good Green Lantern movie. I hope they make a good Flash movie.
I hear they had the perfect opportunity to introduce Green Lantern in Justice League, and they gave you just the tip, and they just left it alone.
Yes, true. They didn't even... It wasn't even... The full tip.
It was like a glance at the tip.
I hope they make a cool Green Lantern Corps movie. That'd be awesome.
I think all titles have been scrapped with the exception of Shazam, Wonder Woman 2, and that's it.
They did it with Ant-Man. What about an Atom movie?
Atom movie?
The Atom.
Not Black Atom?
No, not Black Atom. Because he's
supposed to be in the sequel of Shazam is what they're hoping. That's what they wanted.
No, it is The Rock.
Right, but right. Supposedly he's not in the Shazam movie, so...
Oh, really?
Supposedly.
Oh. It's
maybe it's just all a big hoax and he really is the big villain for Shazam.
Zachary Levi, isn't it? Isn't he Shazam?
I thought it was... Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a weird casting choice.
He's a decent actor. I mean, he just has to buff up a lot.
I don't know. He just doesn't embody what I... When I read Shazam as a kid, he's not what I pictured in my head.
No, me either.
He also doesn't have that big bubbly goodness of what Shazam's supposed to be.
He might be able to do. I don't know. We have to see.
I'll wait till I see the trailer.
Right.
Right.
All right, so let's move on. You know, it's tickling my geek this week. are some tour announcements.
Tour announcements.
So this is going to be a good year for, you know, not baby metal. This is going to be a good year for tours. The first tour that I'm excited for, they've announced Amorphis is touring again this year in September. Well, September here. I'm going to actually, when I did last year when I met them, they're about the VIP ticket. The VIP ticket is like $80. You get to meet all four bands on the tour and the ticket. So the tour includes Amorphis, Dark Tranquility, Moonspell, and Omnium Gathering.
Oh, wow. That sounds like everyone you like.
It's a great tour. Yeah. I haven't seen Moonspell since like 1999.
Since the last time they spelled the moon.
And then when they misspelled it, at one point. So stop watching them. No,
they're called Noonspell.
No. The last time we saw Moonspell was... No. After that, we saw them on that Danzig tour, The Blackest of the Black. It was them and Jimmy Borgir and Danzig and a couple other bands.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was, it's been a while. Yeah. I forgot that I saw them there.
All right.
Was at House of Blues.
House of Blues.
The other tour that I'm excited for was, I haven't announced dates yet, and it's not Metallica. It's, well, I'm going to get to that. Eternum, who...
I don't know who that is.
We fucking love that band on this show and then on MSRcast. I've turned so many people on to that band.
Probably not me.
I have, actually. I've played them for you. And I don't.
Yeah, probably.
They're really good. If you like... I'll have to play it for you again. I'm going to make you like them.
Aeternum.
Aeternum.
Okay.
The other band on the show tour, Ghost Ship Octavius.
I know that band.
Which are really good. It's Van Williams from Nevermore. Orphanland. And Tear.
I bet there's a lot of orphans there. But
I don't get your joke. Say it again. Maybe it'll be funny the second time. Nope, not gonna happen. We're excited for this tour, and I hope it comes anywhere in Texas, because we will drive for this show. All four of those bands I'm looking forward to seeing.
So what if they go to like New Orleans?
I'd drive there.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Yeah.
What about Atlanta?
Maybe not.
Really? It's not that far.
It's never been there.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'd go to Atlanta with you. I won't go to the show, but...
Well, if I'm ever going to go to Atlanta, I'm going to go to the Prog Power.
I don't know what that is.
It's a 2-3-day festival with all prog metal bands.
So why don't you go to that?
I don't know. I haven't been yet. Same reason why I haven't been on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise.
It's another reason to travel, man. That's what you got to do, is just travel.
So the other tour that I'm excited for, it's the Monkees Present.
Aren't half of them dead?
Only one of them is dead.
So. Oh, I thought more than half is dead.
Nope. One of them is just taking time off. So this tour is actually Mickey Dolenz and Michael Nesmith touring together. Two of my favorite band members doing, but unfortunately, not anywhere near me yet.
Yeah, where are they going?
East Coast, West Coast.
Hey, man, sounds like an excuse to travel.
It actually is. I've been thinking about it, but, you know.
No reason not to.
Well, we're thinking about going to see Helloween in Chicago in September. So
Chicago. I've never been to Chicago.
We have some other business to take care of while we're there, so why not plan it around a concert we want to see that are not coming anywhere near here.
Put a little pleasure in that business.
Exactly. Because Helloween are playing New York, L.A., Chicago, and Vegas. That's it. And Mexico.
Vegas is close.
Yeah, but I have some business to take care of in Chicago anyway.
That makes sense.
Might as well.
Two birds, one stone.
Exactly right. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, there's a lot of great shows coming up this year. A lot of bands that I've seen a couple of these bands live before, like Orphanland we've seen before, Tear we've seen before, but the new Orphanland is probably top five of the year for me already.
It's where they picked up more orphans.
It's they went to the land, they picked up orphans, and then they left the land, so they left the land all orphaned.
Oh,
nobody,
man.
There.
It's like double orphaned.
It's double orphaned. It's orphan squared land. Yeah, they left the firstborn sons.
Damn, that's like tripled orphaned
like
at that point. God damn.
They passed over
the
firstborn
sons.
This
is like biblical proportions of orphanage.
It is. Yeah. But that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, cool, man. What about you, Dave? Oh.
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 Damn.
Next time, cold.
Next time he will be able to tell us. We'll have to hear all about
Sherwood Forest.
Where he?
When does that start?
This weekend, I think. I think they're getting ready for it real quickly.
The same week as or same time as the rodeo? That sounds like really bad timing.
Rodeo doesn't matter.
Oh, I guess. All right. So you're gonna all the medieval nerds are gonna go to Sherwood Forest while the rest of people go to the rodeo.
That's right. Two different types of nerds.
People who like carnival food and the people who like medieval carnival food.
That's right. Let's see. So let's talk about our sponsor real quick.
We have a sponsor?
We do have a sponsor.
Woohoo!
Who is it?
It's the people that sells vinyl stuff.
What kind of vinyl stuff?
Like toys and Funko Pops and... Japanese stuff.
Bandai and Artifacts.
See, Japanese stuff.
And Banpresto.
Also Japanese.
And more?
More Japanese stuff.
That's right.
So, didn't they have a toy fair recently? So I imagine new stuff would be coming out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I guess you would want to go to this place and get some awesome toys.
And they have a sale going on right now. Their anniversary show or sale is going on. And if you go to their website and put in the code Metal Geeks, what are you going to get?
Well, at first you would need to tell them what the website is.
I was waiting for you.
I don't remember the name.
Tantrumcollectibles.com.
See, I knew it the whole entire time,
everyone.
He
loves his sponsor so much, he's going to get that tattooed on his arm so he doesn't forget next time.
Not even close.
No, that's not true. So, they're actually working on a new giveaway.
Giveaway.
That, including us, and they're giving away another SNES Classic.
Hey, hey, hey.
So
people want those still.
I'm excited. I like mine.
You do?
I do.
All right.
You should win one too. Not you, but other people.
But other people listening, if they like games and stuff.
So go to tantrumcollectibles.com and then you could get your chance to win SNES Classic. You can buy some cool Funkos and collectibles and stuff
like
that.
Toy Fair just happened. Funko released a lot of stuff.
Dude, like 180 something new figures or toys. Fucking crazy.
It is crazy.
Ridiculously crazy.
You know, it's just eventually they're going to just turn it into the Beanie Baby thing. It's going to eventually, it's a bubble that's going to pop.
Maybe. I'm not denying that.
It's the Beanie Baby craze.
You know what
the,
I'm upset about
century.
Though? It's, you know, the, you know, like the collector's boxes that they have to have, like the Star Wars boxes and all that. Mail order stuff.
Yeah.
They're stopping that.
Why?
It's only going to be able, you're going to be able to buy those in store.
Makes them more exclusive.
But here's the thing. It's like they're not going to be able to supply enough in the stores. And each store is going to have a separate or different. So they haven't said where they're going yet. So like the Marvel one can go to a different store. And DC can go to one store. It's going to be very difficult, I think. It was easier when they just mailed
them
to
your house. And that's when TantrumCollectibles.com step it up and get those collectibles for you. And then you can go to that website and order all the collectibles you want.
I would say that's definitely true if I don't think they can get these, though.
Oh.
Either brick and mortar stores.
Well, they can.
Possibly.
Their buyer for tangentcollectibles.com would go to these stores and buy them, I imagine.
And then sell them on the website.
And then sell them on the website at a better markup than they would get on eBay.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Pretty true. There you go. And then you can enter our code, Metal Geeks, and get 10% off your whole order. And that would just be great for us and you.
That would be awesome.
Right? This is Metal Geeks giving the geek back to you.
That's right. So, I'm tired, man.
No way.
I'm ready to fucking end the episode.
What?
Yep. You want to keep on going?
Is our smorgasbord of an episode just ran you out, huh?
I'm done. I'm just done.
I'm telling you, it's the superhero talks that just take the...
about Marvel and DC.
And they just take the life out of you.
They do. Especially the DC talk.
You know, we didn't even mention about... We didn't even talk about...
Not DC talk like the Christian band, but...
We didn't even talk about the Solo trailer.
We talked about the Solo trailer, haven't we?
Didn't we talk... Oh, I guess we talked about that with Sean.
Yeah, with Sean last time.
Yeah.
The Metal Pigeon.
Yeah.
Still, I like it.
Are you excited for the Solo movie? I don't remember what we said. That was like 3 weeks ago.
Maybe. So. Yes and no. I mean, I'll probably see it in the theater, but I'm not...
That comes out
in
May, right?
Yeah.
Like soon.
Memorial Day weekend, which is the same weekend as Comic Palooza.
Hey, that's cool. Maybe y'all could work with a movie theater or something. I don't know. Comic Palooza, figure it out.
I don't know.
Do something Star Warsy. Bring Ron Howard to Comic Palooza.
Ron Howard. Ronnie Howard?
Dude, that would be awesome. What was fucking his name? Happy Days.
What was the name on the show? Richie Cunningham. Couldn't think of his name.
You're talking about Happy Days, right?
Happy Days, yeah. Yeah. Richie.
Or the narrator from Arrested Development.
That is, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he was like the executive producer for that show.
Yeah.
And what else?
Do you ever see American Graffiti?
I did.
I would love that movie.
It was good. Yeah. I don't know, my favorite, but it's good.
Better, they made a sequel to that movie, which was not good.
I didn't see the sequel.
Yeah, don't. There's no point.
Harrison Ford is even in American Graffiti.
Yeah, it was his very like, first.
Like 5 minutes.
He's like.
He's driving a hot rod and he has a chick in the car.
Sounds like his normal life.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could be Harrison Ford.
I do too, a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
I want that cool little earring.
He doesn't wear it anymore.
He doesn't wear the earring
no,
anymore?
No, him and his son don't do that anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, he just flies planes and crash them now.
That's true. That is very true.
But now, what else would Ron have? Oh, Apollo 13?
So that's true. How the hell can Han Solo be the best pilot in the universe if Harrison Ford can't fucking fly a plane?
That's not true. He can fly.
He just can't land.
He just can't land. There you go. He just hasn't figured out. He doesn't have Chewie helping out with a landing.
There's no guidance system.
Right.
There's no R2 unit to help him.
To be fair, in other movies, like he crashes the Millennium Falcon quite a bit.
He does that too.
That's, and in Blade Runner, he crashes the car.
That is true.
So like, it's just a running theme,
in
apparently.
In the Solo movie, it's all nice and pretty and brand new. By the time we get to A New Hope, it looks like shit.
I don't know. I think that was a really bad choice on their part to make it look so clean and pristine.
It was a little bit too much.
Also, like, the front is different.
Yeah.
Like, the front doesn't have the nose.
Right. It doesn't have that.
And it's supposed to be a cargo ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it originally was. And in older designs from, like, the 70s, they showed the Millennium Falcon using that nose to carry. Yeah, it scissors into cargo, and it carries the cargo like that. So...
The visuals are not there, but we are scissoring here.
We are scissoring our hands together to give you a visual representation.
Not together, but our
hands
separately.
It's my hand scissoring Carrie's hands. Okay. Don't let them lie to you.
I didn't even get dinner or anything.
Well, wait till later.
Okay. Well, that's it. On that note, thanks for tuning in to what number is this? This is episode 144 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. Of course, you can find us, as always, on MetalGeeks.net. You can find us at ESOPodcast.com. You can find us on all the social medias, at Twitter, on the Instagrams, and the Facebooks at Metal Geeks.
Pretty much all the social
media. The social medias.
All the social medias. We're social media whores.
You can, of course, find us on Stitcher as well, on Google Play.
Anywhere you get your podcast.
And you're going to want to go to, that's right, iTunes, subscribe to us there. You'll get both of our shows. MSR Cast, as well as this show, Metal Geeks Podcast.
And if this is your first time listening to us, you know,
welcome.
I'm sorry. I probably pissed you off once or twice, but I love you. You took the time to listen to me rant and ramble and talk about bullshit, so subscribe and share.
It's a love hate relationship.
Tell
here.
Other ones how much of this guy named George is so awesome but yet is an asshole.
You forgot to say the other part of it. Awesomely wrong.
No, he's always right, but he's just an asshole about it.
I agree on the second part of that. So where can people find your information at?
You can find me at George Trips is Everything on the social medias. Also, more importantly, I have a comic book out that I write with Justin Corbett, who's a co-host with on our other show, Mindfudge Comedy Podcast.
Almost like you forgot the name of it.
I was catching my breath and thinking of the title of the show. We have a comic book called Speak No Evil under the umbrella of our company called Graver Comics, G-R-A-Y. We are on issues 2, 3, is about to get printed. We're doing the reviews right now. Please go check them out. Let us know what you think. I would love to hear what you think, especially if you hear me complain about movies and stuff. Right up your alley.
That's right.
Just go to graybearcomics.com. That's G-R-A-Y. And also all the social medias on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. It's Graybear Comics. And on that note,
As always, catch you on the next episode.
Keep it hairy.
I don't want to keep it hairy.
No? Wait, here we go. It's Keep It Floppy.
Well, Schluffy?
Schluffy. No, that's not it either. God. It's been a while since I did this. Hold on. All right. Usually Dave does this. So.
That's right. He does.
Keep It Heavy. We're getting closer. Close. We're getting closer. All right. Here we go. Keep It Metallic. Got it. It's metallic, right? No. Keep It Metallic. No. It's something like that.
You're getting close. Let's just... can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no, please.
Keep it metal.
Oh, that's right. I knew it was a metallic element in there.
Close, yeah.
Yeah. And also, always keep it funny. No, wait.
No, we don't do that at all. No,
I'm not funny. Not even a little bit. They're probably hung up at this point or stopped listening. Keep it geeky, right?
That is the correct phrase.
Keep it geeky, bitches.
Good job.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.